Riot for Romance have joined the Antidote for a talk. It's good to have you two with me.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure and honor to be here.
What about each of you introducing yourselves and tell us your role in the band?
My name is Kelly Nunn Sr. I play drums, also dabble with guitars as well.
And I'm Jason Hansen. I do vocals, guitars, and the knobs and keys when necessary for some of that ambient noise.
But we're missing one member.
We are, Brett Miotti. He plays bass in the band as well.
I've heard that each of the band members have been in the music scene for a long time, and I'd like to hear both of your stories. Now, Kelly, you're first up, because we know that vocalists talk way too much.
I love it. That's so true. Yes.
That's funny.
That's how we get out of packing gear at the end of a live show.
It is. So, yeah, I mean, like, I grew up like many people. I'm in my mid-40s now, but when I saw the music kind of growing, you know, this is the first start of Tooth and Nail and things like that. You really start to see some of, like, I live in Tampa, so there's a big death metal scene here. So, like, you know, when I first started playing drums and wanting to get involved with music, I started playing and getting involved and started meeting people. And then, you know, that next thing you know, one of our bands, the band I started with in a hardcore band called Sleeping by the Riverside, was based here in St. Pete as well. Mm-hmm. So we started playing and touring, took out an unknown band at the time called Under Oath. We signed to Take Hold at that point, and then get Under Oath signed to Take Hold. I leave to go to college, come back, and Under Oath is looking for a guitar player. So I go and audition and become a member of Under Oath for about a year, blew out my knee, having a knee injury. And then luckily, because of all the, you know, some of the other bands that we were playing in, I had a good network. I was a big fan of the band Strong Arm. And when they became Further Seems Forever, within that realm, I got the call about joining them and as a touring guitar player to play for on the Hide Nothing era and stuff. So him with John Bunch. And then that came to an end. And then the original vocalist for Under Oath, Dallas, called me and asked if I'd be interested in joining Maylene. So I took another audition on that realm and was blessed with the opportunity to be able to go out with Maylene for about 3 years and be a part of that. So yeah, I'm one of those guys that have a long resume, but I have, you know, it's music all to me, whatever genre it is. It's just having fun with music. And I'm a music fan. So whenever it comes to playing, I'll play whatever I can.
That's amazing. What a pile of bands that you've been with. I've had Maylene and Under Oath both on the show for talks.
Rock and roll. Very cool.
Okay, Jason, you're on deck. Give us your music story.
Love it. Actually, Kelly's resume and catalog is much more interesting than mine. If you've ever seen the movie Almost Famous, I tend to be one degree of separation from a lot of the fun that Kelly expressed. Brett and I actually were in a band together, many moons ago, called Never Enough. And we were fairly regional in our touring, but had an international presence. Our first release was on a compilation done by Steadfast Records, who, mm-hmm. ironically enough, Kelly's band, Sleeping by the Riverside, was featured on that as well. And here we are full circle, and Riot for Romance has done releases through Steadfast Records, so come full circle. Pretty neat. During that time, Never Enough had done quite a bit. You know, we played Warped Tour in Chicago. We would open for POD. We had bands like Chevelle coming to watch us. We had Sleeping at Last opening for us and us playing shows with them. It was a lot of fun. And then fast forward through time, I had met Kelly through Further Seems Forever. I was the roommate of the drummer. Mm-hmm. He introduced us, and Kelly and I became really close. Worked on actually a worship album that I released in 2013 under the project name What Glorious Things. Saw some press and things in the Christian scene, and then full circle again. The three of us got together, and here we are doing Riot for Romance.
Now you're creating your own fun.
Yeah,
pretty much.
You guys have to know what Brett's background is.
Yeah, absolutely. So when never enough. Eventually played in a band that was on Theory 8 Records, and they wound up going all on tour. Who was on Theory 8? There were a number of bands that we're all connected, right? It's such a small family and small group that we found ourselves staying in touch all together. He played in this band with the drummer who toured with Copeland a little bit, Manchester Orchestra. He had a blast too. And then he took a big break on that until Riot for Romance.
Well, let's get into the music of Riot for Romance. You guys released your self-titled debut in 2022. The World and Its Weight is one song that seems to tie into the romance part of the band name. Part of the first verse says, "Your lips will keep me close with every word and kiss to sustain me and save me holding my heart." You guys are softies.
Honestly, I can say with confidence, and Kelly would agree, that all three of us are. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
But you're not an emo band.
No, right? We do have some influences that tie in there for sure, but no, I'd say we aren't.
You know, that same song also reveals a bit about your faith. "When our faith falters and goes astray, lead me here. When the world isolates, pushes away, draw me near." Are you saying that faith has been a struggle?
You know, faith ties in. I wrote the lyrics, and I tend to write the lyrics for the songs. And it comes from a worldview that is absolutely faith-driven. However, one of the things we made a conscious effort together, and what I do lyrically, is I spent so much time writing lyrics about my faith specifically and my relationship with God and you know, my professed faith, that I wanted to take a step back and talk about kind of the human experience, which is what each of us have here on earth, struggles, victories, whatever the case is. And yet at the same time, being a person of faith, it's always undergirded, you know, what mm-hmm. I'm speaking of. So in those particular lyrics, I wrote that actually for my wife, and it was reflective of us coming out of the pandemic. I think for many people, and I'll say myself included, I mean, it was a challenge, the pandemic, just not only socially and otherwise, but in your own household. I mean, to be confined for such a long time with people that you usually have some space with, you know, you kind of balance your life out typically, I think is a common experience. And yet, and during the pandemic, especially if you had kids, there just was no separation. And so I think it was a test of commitment and faith. My wife and I, the faith that we have in God, and then the commitment to each other. And it's really geared towards that, very plainly, just us getting through that time. And not that it was a particular, you know, struggle that I can point out and say, wow, that almost did us in, but just a, you know, a common experience I think many of us can relate to, just stress testing relationships, whatever those might be in the household where you were confined.
But now you guys are still comfortable talking with the antidote where Christian music doesn't suck.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I love it. And I saw that moniker through time here as we've gotten to know your work and interacted with you actually here and there in the past. So we're excited to be on just for that reason.
That's cool. Kelly, maybe I should aim this one at you.
Okay.
Riot for Romance are a standout because of your style blending. You know, it's post-punk, indie rock, alt rock, shoegaze, and all of it was sort of this 90s kind of vibe. And on top of that, Jason, of course, you have an unusual vocal style. Kelly, what do you think? Was this contrived or is this natural?
What I think is, there was an organic aspect to writing that, in the sake of, like, we all kind of had our ideas within the music. And so you know, yeah, I've got influences in playing in different music styles, but when it comes to like this, like we had an idea what we wanted to do musically, and then we started taking in and expanding more of those ideas with some of the other influences outside. You know, it was a very we like this or we don't like that approach, and we had to be honest with it, like on what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it, what we were exploring. Does it change it too much in one direction? I think Jason and Brett would probably both contest to this, that it is one of the most difficult aspects of it, because there is no wrong. It's just whether or not we feel it fits for the mattress of the song. It's the closest thing to the analogy of throwing a bunch of stuff on the wall and seeing what sticks. We have so many different ideas and they're all organic, but then sometimes when we're looking at, okay, hey, this song has a, I'll use this terminology, like a pop sensibility to it, meaning that it's made for the masses. It's a very catchy kind of, you know, strong hook, you know, things like that. Then we have to be conscious of making sure that, hey, we know consciously we're going to have this song. So we want to keep these things in mind while we're actually, you know, working on the song. I'll give a little bit of behind the scenes. You know, this project was birthed because we were all at home. And so we started working on this song, kind of seeing how it worked. And then it came out at the end. And we're like, oh, wow, this worked really well together, you know, trying to figure all this out, considering we're all in different states. And so this idea birthed of like, well, what else, you know, I asked them like, well, what else are you guys working on? And then they started showing me these other songs. And so this natural, like, well, hey, I don't have anything really. Do you guys have anything to do? You know, let's figure out some ideas, you know, and seeing if there's something that came about. To answer your question, I think there's probably both sides of it. You know, like I said, there's a concentration going in on both sides, and depending on the song, depending on what the approach that we wanted to go with.
You got to admit that having an unusual style is really about the only way to stand out in today's music scene.
Yeah, it's hard because, I mean, it's funny. I was watching this music documentary. The one thing that all these different engineers were talking about was the ability to be able to find something different that hadn't been done. And so you can hear inspirations, but when it starts to become like your own thing, that's when people start to recognize your band, you know? So I don't think we had an idea of like, hey, you know, this, that, or the other, but it was like, okay, cool. We're going to just be ourselves and let those inspirations fall into the music.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is another song from the Riot for Romance EP that I want to hear about. The Darkest Space in Me. The chorus says, "Forget what you said to me. Words are hard, eyes that pierce the darkest space in me, keeping guard." The funny thing is that I can see that both being a positive and a negative. So which is it?
It's probably both. One of the things I've tried to do whenever I write lyrics is create the space for listener interpretation. Because, you know, we all have different experiences in life, and what is probably a commonality is the emotion that is triggered or the root feeling that someone may have. And so with any lyric, it's about being just vague enough maybe so that while it comes from a specific place for me many times and not always, in that song, definitely, I want it to be something that's relatable where someone can plug in whatever emotion that it's evoking. They can plug in that experience and recall, oh yeah, I felt this way during this experience. So in that one, just again, I think about it, relationships. One of my greatest fears is being misunderstood. And I think that's kind of partly where words are hard come from. And so when you're in a relationship and trying to communicate together, right, especially if it's a spouse, a partner, where mm-hmm. you're trying to operate as one, right? And it's challenging because you're unique individuals. You were created to be unique. And at the same time, you have to operate in concert as much as you can. And I think that really the song is about that, just that other person being vulnerable enough for them to see the darkest space in you and be okay with you with that, right? To accept you, to have grace, to have that love that can be at times unconditional. And even at other times, it comes with a lot of understanding. And that song recalls that for me. Where at the same time, I think, you know, hopefully, kind of as you mentioned, hey, this seems as a positive and a negative. And I guess not to be too artsy, but I would throw back, well, which one would it be for you? You know, when you're listening to the song, that emotion that is being evoked, how do you relate to that? So that's my hope.
To show how indie Riot for Romance really is, you guys have made both of your releases available on cassette. So I guess that's making you both retro and cool.
Thank you.
Do cassettes really sell?
I think how we look at it, this is representing Brett's perspective, I think, as the lead person on this. By trade, he's an artist and a designer, and he just does great stuff. I mean, he's had art showcased in Paris. He's really great. We love his ability to interpret that medium and present it. And so cassettes, part of the reason we went along with that approach is it's an art form. You know, our cassettes and the vinyl we put out and any physical media forthcoming or coming soon, it's all about an artistic expression more than a medium to listen to the music, because most people, I would say by and large, even though sales are up on physical media, if you look at statistics, it's still a sliver of people who actually listen to that medium. I had to go buy a cassette player just so I could listen to my own cassette. So I would say, for us, we try to make it an expression of art, especially the second release, Learning to Unburden Myself, Step One, was really approached with that art in mind. Our hope is that when you receive it, whether or not you have a cassette player, you can appreciate the form factor and the art form of it.
Before we get into that new release, I still want to circle back to the original EP.
Absolutely.
I want to get into the song Less for Regret. Now, I know listeners might find a different perspective in a song than what you've intended, as you've been talking about, but I want to bring my thoughts to Less for Regret.
Please.
When I hear the first few lines, all the people shouting to be heard through noise, privately resounding, kept with public poise, and you've been searching for some peace, and you've been praying for some quick release. You know, all I can think about is that every American voter is wishing this presidential election was over.
Yeah, that's an awesome perspective. I love that that's what it sparks for you. And I would probably say that's true as an American. We all just want this to be over with.
Hey, Kelly, want to bring this up? Something I haven't figured out is why you guys did a co-release between a couple of labels, Steadfast Records, who you've mentioned earlier, and also Friend Club Records. Why did you take that route?
I think it was more, goes back to with the artistic side of it, because Friends Club's offered a different platform as far as they have a niche within. I actually, on the other, you know, the other band that I mentioned earlier, with Sleeping by the Riverside, they had approached us about doing a cassette release. There's, you know, especially with all these festivals going back out and stuff, like there's a novelty aspect of that that has now been back into it, and people are buying these mediums again. It's cool. So they both offered a different aspect, because Steadfast does with a lot of vinyl, things of that nature. So we were able to kind of look at it from a perspective of that not everyone who was familiar with Steadfast is going to be familiar with Friends Club and their fan base and what we're trying to achieve. So it's a testament to being able to work with multiple people that we were able to sit into a room or talk on the phone and everyone and have a conversation about it would look like for us to be able to do that. Was able to get everyone on the same page and what the expectations were and what we were able to achieve. And it just happened to work out that we had two different labels willing to give us a shot. And so it became a very good, and we're still working with Steadfast currently. So it's a wonderful experience when you have people that that dig your music and still think you have something to offer to the music market as a whole.
That sounds perfect. Now I guess we should dive into what's new. Riot for Romance put out your sophomore release, Learning to Unburden Myself, Step One. And the band took me by surprise with your first single from the EP, because last year you released your version of the Radiohead classic, Karma Police. That song must mean something to Riot for Romance.
Yeah, how do I answer that? I think if I were to stop and evaluate what it means to us, it probably means a little something different for each of us. I think I was the one to approach the band with it. So let's take a step back. As Kelly mentioned, on our self-title release, the band started with this contribution to a cover song from the band Starflyer 59, The Dungeon, and put our own spin and reinterpreted the cover, but tried to stay true to the original. So we thought, wow, that was a lot of fun. And, you know, to pay homage to how the band started, let's throw another cover in and let's go ahead and pick something that, you know, we can reinterpret, that we can put our spin on and still keep the essence of that original. And Karma Police was, I would say, it was groundbreaking at the time it was released, really. I mean, that album won all these Grammys and it just really broke the mold from their first two albums. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for us, our songwriting style began to change a little bit on the second release, on how we approach things. And I think it was reflective of that for us. We all appreciate Radiohead's contribution to music the past 20, 30 years. And I think finally it would be a challenge, you know, to pick this song. You know, we really need to have it together, because Radiohead has a lot of fans, and we need to be able to do this justice without it sounding like, you know, a cover you might hear from a cover band at a, you know, venue, right? That's just
right.
Yeah, there's obviously a place for that, right? But for us, we wanted to put in a creative spin on it. So I think those are the reasons. I mean, we could have picked a myriad of songs, right? We just love music, but that was the one that just stood out.
We kind of had that same approach that I was like, hey, listen, if we're going to, you know, this is the song that we want to do that collectively. But I know we were very, very intentional about, hey, listen, if we're going to do this, it has to be a blend of an homage to that song, but also our interpretation of it. You know, if we as a band could color this palette compared to, and no disrespect to Radiohead, we're just a different band, allowed us to be able to take our own artistic spin at it. I think we did well in the sake of being able to address ideas that, hey, that, you know, the original one definitely has a piano, so we want to keep certain aspects of that to the song, but also utilize it where we're a rock band, like we have lots of guitars and things of that nature. So we want to be able to add these different layers that kind of represent some of the shoegaze and some of the atmospheric stuff that we dig, and apply it on a recording aspect of it. And yeah, it was a super fun experience just getting this whole song put together as a whole.
Kelly, you're on the spot again. And I'm going to ask you something that an interviewer is never supposed to bring up. But I've been dying to know this. Does the name Riot for Romance have some deep meaning?
It doesn't, in the sake of that, because it's, you know, we used it from No Knives. They have a record. So it's an
homage. That's what I was wondering about.
Yep. Jason had a conversation with those dudes actually on Twitter. So, and they gave us their blessing. So everything's cool. Well, when this first came up, it was kind of funny because I was like, they had No Knife. And they're like, yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, it wasn't my first thought of it, but I was like, why do I recognize, you know, that name or whatever? So it was kind of funny. So, but yeah, no, I mean, it's obviously it's gravitated within our own lives. I mean, it's kind of, it's funny to think about it when it's sake of, you know, when we talk about the concept of the lyrical aspect of some of the songs when it comes to love. I mean, you know, I think any one of us put in the right situation, I'm remarried, Jason's remarried, like, you know, Brett's, you know, still trying to find love, but we are all hopeless romantics and want that aspect to be looked at, that there is a anger when it comes to us trying to find romance, because it is such an important thing, I think, in someone's life, in the sake of finding someone. You know, it does make you do crazy things. So whether that be rioting for positively or negatively and causing chaos, like there's still words in that for sure.
Dave, I would add too. And, you know, it was kind of alluded to earlier, there's a spiritual aspect too, you know, regardless of your worldview is for any listener. And I think there's something to that. There's a romance to this life. And to Kelly's point, you know, it's not always pleasant either, right? But there's a romance to it. There's something beautiful about the opportunity to wake up each morning and be alive and face, whether that's face the day with problems or face the day with excitement, you know, whatever the case is. So I think a lot of this band in general is both very tangible and abstract. It kind of lives in that balance in every way. And I don't know, I kind of think the three of us are definitely philosophical in that sense and how we live life.
Back into the music again. The band brought in an interesting opener for the new EP, Toxic and Tampered. And that title reminds me of what we've done to our world, but, you know, what I really want to do is bring in the refrain that you've got in the song. I try to reframe the world that I see through when toxic and tampered. Now, I hate to be a pain, but that's a fantasy. How can you ever achieve that?
That's a great question. I think it goes for, it starts first with our approach to this EP and the forthcoming one, which was to take a thematic approach. And it's in the title itself, Learning to Unburden Myself. So very much, I think in life, one thing that I learned is, and incidentally, I brought up the word worldview a couple times, not intentionally, but I guess as a testament to what this means to me, our worldview, you have one. Each one of us has one, whether we acknowledge it or aware of it or intentional about it or not. So you either succumb to the worldview that you've been given, whether that, you know, that's through your environment, through your family, the culture you live in. All these things, right? Again, a philosophical standpoint. Or you recognize that this is the card you've been dealt. Here's your worldview that you've been given. And you can choose how to shape it with integrity for who you are as a person, right? So that's where that comes from, is just, you know, taking that time and asking yourself, am I going to be a person who is intentional about my worldview? And how do I reframe that? How do I work through that process? And I believe it's a lifelong process. Who I am today is not the same Jason as 20 years ago. You grow, you learn, you evolve, you interpret life differently. Sometimes things that seem old become new again because of how you perceive, how you change, how you look at life. So that song's really about that. I've had some toxic things in my life, which we could spend hours on another interview, Dave, but really that first song is about that, being able to take a step back and look at those toxic things and go, you know, I'm going to be intentional about removing those things or those people in my life that are harmful. And, you know, that's where it comes from.
My list of things to ask about is never ending.
So I love it.
Here's another song I want to chat about. You've got this gorgeous shoegaze track, This Way Comes Something Wicked. I am, you are, oil and water, truth be told, we should never have bothered. Is that meaning that the romance really is over?
I can probably, and Kelly, I mean, I'd love your take on this too. When I wrote that one in particular was like, oh my gosh, I've been in so many failed relationships as a romantic at heart. I'd hold on dearly to just seeing the best in people and trying to make those relationships work. And sometimes relationships last longer than they really should, if they should have even started to begin with. So that one, I guess, is a little more clear cut in its meaning.
What about you, Kelly? Have you had a rough relationship journey?
Oh, Lord. Write a book on what not to do. I'm one of those guys, like I tell people all the time when it comes to the relationship side of things, is there's nothing wrong with taking a leap, but you got to understand who you're leaping with. And that has always been the more complexity of it, because I think everyone wants companionship, everyone wants friends, everyone wants someone to be able to have somebody that will either speak positively in your life and someone that you know that's going to be there for you, but then take it to another level that you're spending and raising a family with. And, you know, all those dynamics, you know, most people want those things. But the difficulty is, as life expands and life becomes more complicated, you start to lose focus, and just things happen, and you grow, you know, you grow apart and you move to a different direction. So the key to what I'm, you know, and what me and Jason are finding, and everyone else who continue, is once you find someone that you know that you want to invest that moment in, you learn how to give a little more, you learn how to shape and to change and to adapt to situations, and just learning from previous experiences. You know, I think it's imperative in life to where if you find someone that is valuable and they're adding value to you as well, then you figure out the ways to do life together, because you both see the value in each other. And, you know, that's always an important thing.
Kelly, you got to start writing an article for the newspapers. For the Lovelorn, send me your problems. I'll resolve them for you.
Dear Kelly.
Exactly. Dear Kelly.
That's funny.
We got to talk about the name of the EP, Learning to Unburden Myself, Step 1. You've given it away that there's more music coming from Riot for Romance, but you got to tell me, how many steps are there going to be?
I love the question. Well, for this thematic approach, just two. And the concept was, in a day and age where listeners consume music with a short attention span, music today, it's, you know, people are releasing singles once a month and kind of doing it that way, because so often the younger generation, you know, my kids had no idea what a CD was or cassette until my band had a cassette and said, hey, let me show you what this is. What is that? Right? Or the vinyl that I collect. Whoa, what does that do? So it's you know, seems maybe like silly to us, but if you think about it, the new generation, they don't have access to those things unless your parents or grandparents show you, right? So for us, the concept was, how do we keep the value of an album while still attending to the short attention spans of today? So we did two things. One was to take a thematic approach, which is, you know, going to be consistent throughout these songs. And then the other was to take a thematic approach to the art and to the release, to the timing of it all. And so step one is going to be the side A of an LP. And then the forthcoming album, step two, will be the B side to that album. And then once we have all that, we'll release the LP with those two sides, and maybe a couple extra songs that are previously unreleased that are still in the works, but I wish I could tell you about them, but I can't yet. But they're really fun and exciting and collaborative with another artist. So that's where it's coming from. So I'll just leave you hanging with that. We'll have to circle back once it's released.
It sounds like you've come up with the perfect solution. You're going to be satisfied, and so will your listeners.
I hope so. Thank you.
Kelly, Jason, it's been great speaking with the both of you. Thanks for joining The Antidote.
Thanks
for having us. It was such a pleasure. Yeah, absolutely. We enjoyed it.